Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as
boogie, boogie, boogie,
he's our guy.
We still got
boogie, boogie, boogie.
Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, joining us today is none other than the podfather himself, Rockets Wire editor Ben DuBose. Now, you know, thankfully, nothing really notable has happened since the last time we spoke, huh, Ben?
No, not at all. Just a routine few weeks, getting ready for James Harden tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, definitely. We're not in denial about it. No, I mean, okay, so look, you know, we are now almost exactly 2 weeks removed from the James Harden trade. Just give me some immediate thoughts, Ben. Just, you know, where's your head at regarding the beard, how he forced his way out, and kind of maybe his future with the Nets a little bit?
This would have been, by the way, his reunion game with Russell Westbrook. You know, on paper, we looked at this and circled Rockets Wizards, and of course now it's a John Wall, Russell Westbrook, the guys who had traded for each other game, but it was also supposed to be Harden and Westbrook. Now James did not even make it there, even though that's barely over a month into the season. To me, it's interesting. You know, I'm watching the Nets, and I think a lot of people are underappreciating just how volatile that situation is. The reason the Nets went all in with all of those draft picks, with Caris LeVert, who the Rockets were able to flip for Victor Oladipo, is because Kevin Durant is 17 months from free agency. They have to make him happy, and that's the reality. And of course, the Rockets just ended up on the other side of it. But when you have that type of star in the modern NBA, and they get within a couple of years of potentially becoming a free agent, there's a huge amount of pressure that comes with that, especially if they're in their 30s, and at that point, it's basically ring or bust mode. So I'm intrigued to watch. I think it's too early to draw any conclusions about how the team fits. I mean, I think they probably need to pick up some sort of defensive-minded big man at some point. But I do think, generally speaking, now that the Rockets basically own Brooklyn's drafts for the next 7 years, there's a lot of intrigue, and not necessarily rooting against James Harden, but certainly you would love to see it if you're the Rockets, if the Nets fall off. And I think there's greater potential of that than people think, just because if things don't go well for one reason or another, and the Eastern Conference is fairly deep, Milwaukee, Boston, we'll see if Miami puts it back together, Indiana's looked pretty strong, there are no guarantees. And when I look at that situation, you know, there's a reason why Brooklyn did the trade, and you can argue that in the playoffs, the A-list talent of Durant and Harden and Kyrie may win out. But there's a very real possibility with these guys in their 30s and a clear win-now emphasis, it's more combustible than people think. And, you know, I've seen some saying, well, Harden wanted to go to Brooklyn. Well, yeah, we've seen this template before. We saw Dwight Howard a year before he signed with the Rockets. He did not want to go to Houston under any circumstances. He went to L.A., one of the only two teams on his list. And, you know, they did the Sports Illustrated cover. Everyone was excited about it. And because the situation wasn't what it was expected to be, it changed really quickly, and that was within 1 year. Now we're talking about two. So that's just sort of my look on this. You know, I appreciate everything James Harden did, and on some level, you know, I'm not going to complain if he wins a ring. I would be happy for him on a personal level. But as far as what's best for the Rockets in the long term, it's that Brooklyn situation breaking up, and I suppose you could argue, you know, maybe Harden wins a ring and then goes somewhere else after that. But there's also a chance, and, you know, we've seen it where even now that you've got these three guys, it's not like they're just world beaters. That situation is more combustible than a lot of people think. And so that's sort of how I'm viewing it moving forward, with sort of a wary eye.
You know, it's so interesting you bring that up, Ben, you know, and I'm in complete agreement with you. Is that was one of my arguments when James Harden was originally reported that he was trying to force his way out, because there's one thing to, you know, to go to like the Kevin Durant route, right? The hardest road, you know, to join the 73-9 Warriors and basically, you know, have a cakewalk to the finals, you know, a couple years in a row and really, you know, not really facing that much adversity unless you're, you know, talking about the 65 win Houston Rockets. Needed a little bit of luck and an unfortunate injury to go your way to avoid being bounced. And we'll say in six games. Anyways, but legitimately, like, that was a almost guaranteed surefire scenario for Kevin Durant. And that's why I couldn't quite wrap my head around Harden's desire to just so abrasively force his way to the Brooklyn Nets, or even to a lesser extent, the 76ers, because neither of those were surefire scenarios. And my biggest argument against it and kind of trying to come to terms with all this back when it was originally reported was that Harden was just, you know, spurning the Rockets fans that had championed him for 8 years, mm-hmm. and, you know, would you know, do anything to defend him, you know, on social media, just have been cheering for him, all this, right? This collective group of people who have done nothing but defend this guy for 8 years, and he is, you know, in a way, he didn't throw away his Rockets legacy, but he definitely tarnished it to an extent. And it wasn't even tarnishing it to an extent to guarantee himself a chip. It wasn't like KD leaving OKC mm-hmm. high and dry and knowing that he was going to have a couple titles to fall back on. He's leaving for a maybe, for a chance. The Nets aren't even the de facto best team in the league, which is, I think, still the craziest part in all of this. And, you know, we can talk about like the package and everything that the Rockets received back. Personally, Ben, I'm still a little bit let down by the package, especially if Boston's involvement was legitimate to an extent, which you have to imagine that Jaylen Brown would have been in that discussion if Boston was a serious, you know, talking point mm-hmm. at all. But it does really seem that flexibility was Rafael Stone's ultimate goal. So how do you feel right now about the return for James Harden, this, you know, treasure trove of draft picks, and also, you know, obviously getting Victor Oladipo, you know, flipping Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Oladipo both on the floor and then if either he's not working out to the extent that they want or if they view him as basically just a trade ship at the deadline for more future draft capital. To me, it's hard to have a strong take because the package they took, I honestly don't think that the majority of those picks or pick swaps will be made by the Rockets. I think it's pretty clear with this organization, their mindset, that deal is about what they can do on the trade market with all of those assets, just the same way that we've seen them, you know, going back to the Robert Covington for Christian Wood swap, accumulating those assets in late November ahead of what happened with Westbrook and then Harden, those deals. And, oh, you picked up the extra future first from Washington and the Russell Westbrook, John Wall trade as well. So all of those, and Rafael Stone did his media availability a little over a week ago, and he mentioned, you know, flexibility came up several times. And what he means by that is using those on the trade market for the next star that gets disgruntled. And the bottom line for me, it's just hard to have sort of a firm take because so much isn't known. The bottom line is that the Rockets are more comfortable with using these assets on what's behind mystery door number two, if you will, than whatever was available on the market right now, which we can speculate about. And I suppose you can certainly argue that the floor is lower because you don't know what's going to happen with that. And there's some scenarios where, hey, if Brooklyn's really good and these guys stay long term and KD and Harden age the way that LeBron James is, those picks might not be that good. And then if that's the case, they don't have that much value on the market. So there is a lower floor, but there's also a higher ceiling. What I was saying earlier that, you know, KD and Harden, for that matter, are potentially 17 months from free agency. There's a lot of other good teams in the East, as we've seen since they've been put together. It's an interesting team, but it's certainly not, at least at this point, a juggernaut. There's just a lot of, you know, balls that are kind of juggling in the air, and the Rockets, they're taking the view that it's worth it in the long run, especially in today's NBA where you're competing with the likes of the Lakers with LeBron and AD, who don't seem to be going anywhere, that it's worth the higher upside of either those picks turning out to be really good and those swaps, or more likely what those swaps mean on the trade market as they position themselves to go after a star and, you know, pitch him on a partnership with Christian Wood and whatever other guys from the current group are viewed as semi-long-term fixtures. I mean, I hesitate to say anyone's a long-term fixture in the modern NBA. That's just the reality of the situation. But I think the bottom line is the Rockets took a lower floor for a higher ceiling, and you can quibble with that. There's definitely scenarios where it doesn't work out. But in today's NBA, given what you're up against with the super teams and the big markets, Houston's a very good market, but it's not LA, it's not Miami, it's not Golden State. I can understand why Raphael Stone went down this path, and that's sort of how I've made peace with it.
Coming up, I want to talk with you, Ben, about kind of one of the issues kind of plaguing Rockets fans right now is it seems like the fandom is a little bit divided as to whether or not this team should remain competitive, whether they should bottom out. We're going to get there. We're going to talk about that in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Tom Brady is headed to yet another Super Bowl. NBA season is in full swing. The new look Rockets looking very, very exciting under new head coach Steven Silas. And look, Major League Baseball is right around the corner. And look, there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On Rockets trust, and that is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use our promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Look, there's so much action, across the NFL landscape, across the NBA landscape, and look, MLB is right around the corner. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Rockets Wire editor, podfather himself, Ben DuBose. Now, Ben, you know, Rockets fans are kind of, it seems like, you know, there's two aisles right now, and they're split right down the middle. Stay competitive, you know, try and stay relevant versus just, you know, give up, bottom out. You don't have a top player anymore. It's, you know, useless to try and remain competitive, fade for Cade, right? Unfortunately, the whole, draft compensation that was given up in the Russell Westbrook deal kind of throws a bit of a wrench into that plan. But then you've also, you know, recouped some draft assets. And there's, you know, I can see arguments on both sides. Where do you fall right now in this regard?
So fortunately, now that they've won the last two games, the tanking arguments are not as popular on Twitter as they were when, you know, they were 4-9 coming off the Suns game and you had the Christian Wood ankle injury, especially seeing the big win in Dallas. And now you're getting John Wall back, Victor Oladipo. It's going to be their first game against the Wizards. Hopefully Christian Wood isn't that far off. Daniel House should come back against the Wizards, although he'll probably be sort of limited at first because between the back spasms and then the self-isolation, he hasn't really done full-blown NBA workouts in a while. So, you know, there's optimism that this team is starting to get better on the court. The results are getting better. Obviously, the cloud of the Harden situation and the trade rumors is over them. But what I think has been overlooked, Jackson, in all of these tank versus not tank discussions is the probability and the non-zero chance that you don't end up having to tank at all. Now, I'm not saying that that's the likely scenario, but if we're talking about, you know, these tanking scenarios, especially in 2021, where because Oklahoma City has the pick swap, the odds are even if you're the worst team in the league, which I think the Rockets are far from that, you know, they're 6-9 now, which is not that nice. But then you look at their expected wins. Actually, the metrics show, I saw one of the big stats today, that their expected wins was like 7.2. So they've actually been a little bit unlucky, which I could buy. And that's before we even go into, that's just based on their production. That's before we even go into all the injuries, the quarantines, the chemistry effects from the Harden trade rumors, all of those angles. That doesn't even go into the expected wins. They've just been unlucky on the floor already. And then you factor in all that other stuff, which should theoretically get better now that you've resolved a lot of those issues. But what I think is getting overlooked in this calculus, Jackson. Okay, so let's look at the tanking. You've got, best case, a 50% shot, 52, that you keep your pick at all. That's even if you're the worst team in the league, which I find very, very difficult. Then the pick swap takes away so much of that incentive because there's at least a 50-50 shot and probably a lot more than that realistically that you're not holding that pick anyway. So beyond the usual caveats of there's no guarantees in the draft, there's a high bust rate even in the high first round in the NBA, and if even if it's not a bust, it can take a long time, then there's a 50-50 shot that you don't even keep the pick at all. So there's a lot of ifs in that. Now, I know some will say that, well, if you're super fatalistic, then whatever the odds, even if we say it's like 20%, that I suppose, you know, you're this bad, the tanking works, you keep your pick, you get lucky in the lottery, the guy pans out, all that kind of stuff. Okay, we're probably looking at 20% at that point. Here's the flip side of that, Jackson. What if this works out? We have not seen a healthy roster basically at all this season, and there are some very interesting pieces. That's why tanking is not easy to do. If you're the Rockets, Christian Wood is averaging basically 24 points and 10 rebounds a game, and he has just now become a starter in the NBA.
Hashtag NBA vote. Christian Wood all-star, yeah. All-star campaign starts now. No.
His biggest weakness is on the defensive end. He should get better with time. The tools are there. John Wall has not been able to stay out there, but it's not, you know, the Achilles. It's basically he randomly bumped knees with someone. That could happen to anyone. What if he's Chris Paul and easily could be because his game is cerebral? Not saying he'll have the same, you know, quality of play as Chris Paul, but I'm talking about aging well into his low to mid-30s. What if Oladipo, who has shown flashes and is only 28, turns out to be very good? We haven't even talked about Kevin Porter Jr. yet. There's a lot of really positive scenarios that if you're tanking, if you're just shutting guys down or looking to trade them for whatever you can get on the market right now, that you're not realizing that scenario. Also, if you play to win, you get to see what you have in Steven Silas. What if Steven Silas turns out to be an Eric Spoelstra, a Quinn Snyder type coach, a top five guy that can make you more than, you know, the sum of your parts? All of those things, if you are tanking, which amounts to, you know, feigning injuries, trading off anyone that's worth anything at the deadline, and basically not trying to win, you are giving up on that scenario. I'm not saying I expect all of those variables to go the Rockets' way, but even if a couple of them do, then all of a sudden you can see, especially with the draft capital the Rockets already have from the James Harden trade that we were talking about, from the Robert Covington to Christian Wood maneuvers, from the John Wall and Russell Westbrook deal, if Christian Wood continues to play at this level and is under contract for multiple years moving forward, why would the next disgruntled star not potentially be interested in Christian Wood as their Batman, or as their Robin, excuse me, to the disgruntled star Batman, if you will, in that analogy? That, you know, we heard last weekend that USA Basketball is considering Christian Wood for the Olympic team. Now, I'm sure some will listen to that and say, Ben, that's way too optimistic. Maybe, but the odds aren't zero. The point is that if we're going to go down this path, when we talk about tanking, there are no guarantees there. It's miserable to go through, all for, especially in 2021, because your odds are 50-50 at best no matter what you do. Then how can you be, of even getting that pick, then how can you be dismissive of seeing what can happen with this very exciting roster that's in place, that has a lot of intrigue, that hasn't even yet had a chance to really get healthy on the court at the same time without the cloud of the Harden situation hanging over them? That's my argument that I think a lot of people are forgetting, because, you know, you can listen to that and say, well, you're probably being too optimistic. Maybe, but there's also a non-zero chance. I don't know exactly what the odds are of that panning out, but there is a world where some of those dominoes go your way and you end up being attractive, especially because you have the trade assets to also incentivize other teams for a superstar down the line. And then that way you don't even have to tank. You don't even have to go through the misery. You can build yourself back to where you thought you were before all this James Harden stuff hit the fan in recent months, and you can get yourself back to a contending level. That's the rosy scenario. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if you're talking in 2021 about tanking, the odds of that working out are so low that I just don't see how you can simultaneously ignore the upside scenario. Now, what I will say, in sort of closing out the analogy, there is a point, Jackson, where I think later in the year we can say, okay, these things aren't going the Rockets' way. You know, John Wall isn't aging like Chris Paul is, or Christian Wood. Maybe, you know, he's injured, he's falling off, whatever it may be. Oladipo isn't as good, whatever. Maybe some of those variables don't line up. And then if that's the case, then maybe later on you can consider tanking because the odds of the upside scenario are down. But this early in the season with a roster that's this intriguing, and again, we haven't even talked about Kevin Porter Jr. yet, then I don't see how you can't play out the upside scenario a little bit more and worry about, you know, those tanking scenarios another day. And the last qualifier I want to put on it, there's a huge difference between tanking and sucking. If you lose because your team just isn't good enough for whatever reason, I mean, that's not fun, but okay. That just happens. You're trying your best, and for whatever reason, the team just isn't as good as they wanted it to be. I hope that doesn't happen, but it's possible. Where I draw the line is the tanking. Tanking is intentionally making moves to decrease your odds of winning and increase your odds of a higher draft pick. I don't think that's where the Rockets are as an organization, and I don't think it's where they should be given the limited odds with the pick swap. It might change in 2022, 2023, because again, you take away that 50-50 shot that you don't even have the pick because there's no pick swaps involved as far as losing it. But for now, no, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, tanking is definitely just the like orchestrated sucking is what it is. It's intentionally sucking, and that is you know pretty rough on fan bases and you know all around. And it's actually it's so funny, Ben. Thank you. First of all, thank you for hitting on every single one of those points that you hit on, because I was actually supposed to have Dave Hardesty on the show and we encountered some technical issues, and we were going to have an entire segment dedicated to the discussion of tanking versus competing and some of the points that you were highlighting, because again, I've seen so many people really just leaning in favor of tanking. It feels like that's more the direction people want to go. They can't seem to wrap their heads around some of the positives of remaining competitive. And so thank you for laying it all out, because many of those points I had laid out already that I was going to kind of show to Dave and just be like, so what do you think about this? You know, give me your two cents. So I appreciate you hitting on all this. There's one that left though that you didn't hit on that I wanted to bring up. And the argument is Christian Wood came here to win. Like Wood left Detroit because he got tired of losing, because he didn't want to continue to play for a bad organization. So if the Rockets decide to start intentionally tanking, what's to stop Christian Wood? What incentive does he have to stay at an organization that, you know, isn't exactly showing a lot of promise? If, you know, and I do think that remaining competitive when you've already got a guy who is maybe not your clear-cut centerpiece for a franchise, you know, maybe not good enough to be the franchise guy like James Harden has been for the last 8 years, but conceivably Christian Wood is going to be at a minimum, I think we've got a large enough sample size to think that he's going to be a really, really, really good Robin to a Batman down the line, like you said.
Yeah, people do not realize, in my opinion, and I think it's because we've gotten so spoiled by James Harden over the last 8 years, of how special Christian Wood is. He's not James Harden, but he's really, really good. 25-year-old centers that average 24-10 do not grow on trees. And what I keep going back to, in a perfect world, you don't have to go down the draft route at all to find your next star, to build your next contender. It's an option, and maybe they do eventually have to go down that path. We'll see. But even if you do get a star through the draft, it typically takes 3-4 years for them to begin to hit their peak in most cases. There's a long development cycle, a lot of what-ifs that go with that. The best case scenario, you have a 25-year-old win-now piece in Christian Wood. There is absolutely a world, and he's under contract for 3 more years, then you'll have his bird rights. There's absolutely a world in which there's a disgruntled star this offseason, next year, whatever it is. I don't think it's going to happen by the deadline. But at some point in the future, if Christian Wood keeps playing like this, where, especially with your future draft capital, you can lure that guy to Houston and have Christian Wood effectively as his Batman, and you can be a contender without having to go through the misery of tanking to get a high draft pick. And then even after you get the high draft pick, well, then, you know, it takes a while for them to get anywhere close to a peak level. That's why I think Raphael Stone keeps referencing flexibility. There's the scenario, and it's not zero, the odds of it, where you don't have to be bad at all, where you can rebuild this thing on the fly. I don't think they viewed Ben Simmons as that piece. I think that's why they went the Brooklyn path rather than Philadelphia, for example. But I do think there's a world in which someone that's, you know, better than Ben Simmons could be acquired with, you know, those picks they have in the future. Many of those assets are going to have some salaries that can potentially be useful filler in the years ahead as well. To me, that's the best scenario of all. You can get back to a contending level without having to bottom out. That is what you should be cheering for. If you're a Rockets fan, you don't want to be bad at all. And as long as you have Christian Wood, you are not a tanking team, in my opinion. The teams that tank don't have any building block at all, for the most part. With Christian Wood, if he's healthy, you play it out, because there's a, you know, there's a scenario where it can work out for you. Now, maybe, you know, if we're sitting here having the same discussion a year from now and Christian Wood hasn't taken another step defensively, and then a year from now, you know, the Rockets at that point would not have to worry about the Oklahoma City pick swap issue, maybe we're having a different conversation. But right now, given the variables that we've been discussing, it is absolutely worth playing out, because I do see a world, not saying it's going to happen, not saying it's likely, but I do see a world where if things go their way, you can be well positioned to trade for a star, pair him with Christian Wood, and all of a sudden you don't have to be bad at all.
And I think it's really important to highlight the fact, too, first off, one, my eyes, and I feel like a lot of other people's eyes, should be set on Devin Booker. I'm calling it right now on this podcast. Booker is going to be the guy who, because look, the Suns are in a very precarious situation where they've got a weird mix with Chris Paul, 2 years left on his deal. How much more does he have left in the tank? Yeah. Of being, you know, a quote unquote elite team or a team at the top of the West before they need to figure out what's going on there. It's hard to imagine Chris Paul not ring chasing after this deal runs out. I don't really see him re-upping with Phoenix unless they accomplish something really amazing in his little stint there. And I think Booker, that Sun situation is very much poised. Robert Sarver, one of the, worst owners in the league, let's face it. I do think that there's a situation there where Booker could be that next disgruntled star, and the Rockets, with this, you know, treasure trove of draft capital now, thanks to the Brooklyn Nets, have a very exciting, you know, deal to potentially offer them, maybe a couple more years of growing up some of the young talent that is on display on this current Houston roster. And that would look like a really interesting scenario, pairing Devin Booker and Christian Wood, who are roughly on the same timetable as far as age goes. I believe Booker is 24 right now, and Christian Wood being 25. So they kind of fit that timeline a little bit. And if Houston remains competitive and looks like an attractive destination, why wouldn't Devin Booker be potentially interested in pairing up with what is more than likely going to develop into one of the top big men in the league, if he's not already? I found myself kind of scratching my head the other day trying to name five centers. We'll do this right now, Ben. Can you name five centers that you would definitively take over Christian Wood right now at this very moment? No questions asked. You'd absolutely take them over Christian Wood. I could only get to two.
I'm thinking out loud. I mean, that's not easy. I mean, especially when you consider his age and contract. No.
Exactly. So I like.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there are certain guys, you know, I'm thinking Bam, Porzingis, Jokic, Embiid, Cat. So maybe five, but then you factor in the age and the contract.
Yep. When you take all the variables into consideration, it becomes really tough, because I don't think there's a couple of names on that list. I don't think I would definitively take Porzingis over Christian Wood right now. I just don't like beyond a shadow of a doubt. I think really the only guy on that list that I would say absolutely yes to Jokic and Bam.
And Embiid. I would say Embiid.
Okay, I'll give you the Embiid one. I was a little bit more on the fence about Embiid. But of those three, those were the three that I originally came up with. And then it got really dicey when I got to four and five. And I was like, I think that just goes to show how good Christian Wood has already been for the Rockets and what his ceiling really is after getting, you know, more reps, you know, more usage as, you know, the go-to guy, the engine of the offense, that kind of thing. There's so much more upside for Christian Wood.
Yeah.
And you're right. We have been spoiled by James Harden for the past 8 years. And we got to temper our expectations a little bit and understand that he's a really good talent.
And by the way, people are going to listen to this and say, well, Phoenix is playing really well. The Rockets are 6-9. Aren't you guys being a little homeristic? And what I would argue is that if you are a Rockets fan, you should more than anyone else be aware of how quickly these situations can change. in July of 2019, barely over a year ago in terms of the NBA calendar, factor in the NBA calendar basically slowed to a crawl for 5 months because of COVID. In July of 2019, James Harden had everything that he wanted. He was in alignment with the GM, the coach. He got his best friend in the NBA, Russell Westbrook, traded to Houston. That seemed like a situation in which he was as happy as he could be. It unraveled in one NBA season, and not because anyone did anything all that drastic. No, it's just, you know, he wants to win a ring, and sometimes you can take a hard look and you can see that the outlook in terms of at least the championship potential of a franchise, and I think you have a point on the Suns and Chris Paul potentially aging out, then it can make you take a hard look and say, okay, this is a good team, but how do I get to that next level? Basically, I'm stuck because the team doesn't have a route to get to that level the way they are. And of course, the Rockets, you know, it goes back in, unfortunately, to the draft capital they give up in the Russ trade. We could do an entire podcast on that. But the point is, the Harden situation should remind you just how quickly these situations can change. And that was a Rockets team that had a good season. They were the number four seed in the Western Conference. They went to the second round. It was a good team. They just couldn't get to a championship level. They felt blocked. And even just basically 1 year after Harden had everything he could want with the GM, the coach, his buddy to the organization, he still wanted out. That's how quickly these situations can change. And so that's what I would tell Rockets fans when you hear, you know, Devin Booker or any other, you know, big potential star that, you know, we theoretically say, well, you know, in a few months or a year from now, could they be on the market? A lot of people now will say, no, that's never going to happen. Well, yeah, just like we would have said a year ago, that's never going to happen with James Harden in 2020 until it does. These things can happen very, very quickly. All you can do is position yourselves in a spot to sort of pounce. And that's what the Rockets have done between all these future draft assets that they have and now the potential of pairing them with Christian Wood. Ties back into the whole theme of what we were just discussing. That's why you don't tank. You have something to sell from, a position of strength, to where you might can be really good again without having to bottom out and get a top five piece in the draft. That, to me, is the priority. You get better without having to go down that path at all, the same way the Rockets, before they landed James Harden, they never had to bottom out, and those years were a lot more fun as a fan. Who knows? Maybe lightning strikes twice, and we get lucky. I think Houston sports fans are definitely due for some of that after the last 12 months or so.
Right. We deserve it. Come on, man. Like, it's been kind of a rough go of it ever since the hamstring, man. Anyways, I've got a few more things that I want to discuss here with Rockets Wire editor Ben DuBose. We're going to get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Look, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest possible prices rather than changing their prices around based on what the market will bear, sort of like what airlines do. Look, they've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Look, and the catalog, it's unique, it's easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the super important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Quick word from Built Bar. Look, protein bars, I used to not really care about protein bars, right? And then I found Built Bar. Got turned on to Built Bar, and these bars, they're so much better than any other protein bar that I've ever had before, because first off, the flavors are delicious. Like, the flavors are incredible. You've got double chocolate, my personal favorite, but you've got cookies and cream, you've got caramel brownie, salted caramel, banana bread, peanut butter. I mean, so many amazing flavors, 18 total. You can check them out on their website. But these bars, they're not like traditional protein bars. They're not chalky. They're not gritty. They're not a chore to eat. I look forward to eating my Built Bars because they're basically a candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're great whether you're trying to lose weight or maybe just maintain weight. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. And you can check them out. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Rockets Wire editor Ben DuBose, the podfather himself. Now, Ben, I've got a handful of questions here still that I, you know, questions, topics that I want to dive into a little bit. Let me see where I want to get to, because we did find ourselves in a bit of a rabbit hole there in that second segment, but I feel like we covered a lot of ground, hit on a lot of different angles regarding this Rockets team.
We'll go rapid fire with this, if you will.
Okay, let's try a little bit rapid fire. So essentially, you know, personally, I've really enjoyed the togetherness of the team since moving on from James Harden. It really feels like there's been kind of a weight that was lifted off of Silas, the players, really just the entire organization. Give me a couple of your main takeaways from these past six games.
Yeah, to me, what really stood out, I appreciated the start that they got off to in Detroit, because that was a spot where, you know, they had the San Antonio game. That's easy to point to. Right after the Harden trade, they had, what, like 8 or 9 active bodies, barely enough to play. And then they somehow went on that late run to win it. That's easy to point to. But there's lots of teams that, you know, you can sort of rally around it in the short term. And then eventually just, you know, the laws of averages went out with regards to the roster just not being good enough. What I liked was, you know, after you had that temporary spike, okay, you lost the next three games. It was sort of tough integrating Oladipo, I feel like. Then you still didn't have John Wall. Then you had the Christian Wood injury, and they had so many things that were 4-9 not going their way. Then you have Christian Wood, who's been by far the best player, like we've been talking about. Then he goes down, even though he's supposed to be young and healthy. It would have been so easy to just sort of say, hey, this is not our season. I think that's the way a lot of the fans felt. That's why some people during the Suns game were talking about tanking on Twitter. And then they got off to that great start in Detroit. I know the Pistons got back in the game, and fortunately PJ Tucker's foul on Jeremy Grant was a couple of tenths of a second later, we'd be having a different conversation. And, you know, eventually it's the Pistons. You know, Boogie shot just 2 of 16. Now he made up for it in a big way against the Mavs. But I like the way the Rockets came out fighting. To me, that showed the spirit of not just Steven Silas and the coaching staff, which has always been great, but the team as well. The fact that they didn't get down on themselves, I thought that spoke really well of them. They got the result with the Pistons, that late rally, which was pretty insane, fortunately being a little bit too late with the Jeremy Grant move. And then, of course, they finally had a really good night in Dallas in which everything went their way.
Definitely a lot to look forward to, or, you know, moving forward with this team, a lot of different things that they can build on. The great starts both in Detroit and in Dallas were huge. I think, you know, getting off to a good start in an NBA game is so important, rather than the holes that it seemed they were kind of digging for themselves in certain other games. You think to even just the Bulls game, where they found themselves down 12 after the first frame. You know, really tough to dig yourself back out of a game like that, even though they kind of, they almost, you know, arguably outplayed the Bulls the rest of the way. They just couldn't quite dig themselves out of that hole that they, you know, had put for themselves in the first quarter. So, you know, there's so many different positives that we can look at from this team. I do agree with the fight. They've got that junkyard dog mentality, something that we've heard from Sterling Brown, something that we've heard from Jayshon Tate, a lot of different guys. It feels like this entire team really is, you know, collectively, they're all playing with, you know, a chip on their shoulder. And that's a team that's fun to cheer for. It's fun to watch them, you know, mesh, get their chemistry together, all that good stuff. And another guy that's, you know, going to be really interesting, you mentioned him earlier, Kevin Porter Jr., who, you know, it seems like the Rockets and Rafael Stone decided, hey, we're going to take a flyer on this guy. You know, could kind of a very low risk, very, very high reward move, depending on how he pans out. But originally we heard that there weren't really any immediate plans to get him involved. And now we've got pictures of him already joining the Rockets at practice. So should this be taken as a good sign that the organization is feeling at least a little bit comfortable in getting him involved in team activities already?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you consider that, you know, Cleveland, what, training camp started in early December, and basically he had not been there for 6 weeks, and now all of a sudden he's with the Rockets. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is starting the process of physically being there, going through practices. I don't think he'll be available against the Wizards or anytime soon, or maybe he'll be available in the sense that he's on the bench, but I don't think he'll be a rotation consideration. But yeah, I think it's a very positive sign that he's with the team. And of course, it's something that they're trying to put in place. The structure for him is what Steven Silas said, both on and off the court. When you're talking about guys that have had that type of sort of troubled past, in many cases, the court is their sanctuary. That's what keeps them on the straight and narrow. So in many ways, it's sort of hand in hand. you don't want these guys to be away from the court too much, because the court is your chance to sort of give them a purpose to where he feels invested and that, you know, the development is working. I think sometimes these tough off-court situations happen because the player just feels lost. I think we've seen that in a lot of these turbulent situations with athletes over the years. And so I think having him in practice in the facility on a daily basis, that's potentially very big in terms of giving him, you know, mentally the sense of purpose to, you know, get his life on track or keep it on track and be a positive contributor, you know, for the team and in the community. So I think that's a really good sign. And then as far as the X's and O's, you know, we'll see what happens in terms of his offensive game. One thing I love is that as a rookie, and this is very rare for guys that young, he was an impact defender. He had a lot of tools. He had a very high basketball IQ. And that's something that has me really excited about this Rockets team. I believe they're top 10 in defense since the Harden trade.
They are.
I mean, these guys are really getting after it on the defensive end. And if your problem is offense, look, the real issue, Jackson, if you take a 30,000-foot view, the Rockets have good offensive players. Christian Wood, Victor Oladipo, John Wall, these guys are good at scoring or distributing the basketball. They know what they're doing in the offensive end of the court. Steven Silas is a good offensive coach. He was the offensive coordinator a year ago for the most efficient offense in NBA history. If your weakness is your offense, which has been the case for the Rockets, then I feel pretty good that with health and with time, that they can get that to at least an average level. And then if you combine that, if what we're seeing from the defense, and I think Kevin Porter Jr. with his athleticism, his aggressiveness, I know it's not going to be easy to crack the rotation because, you know, it's tough for even Mason Jones to be a consistent rotation fixture as well as he's played as a rookie. But the point is, if they are able to keep up this level of defense, then as long as they are healthy, there's just way too much proven pedigree on offense for them to be as bad as they've been the last couple of weeks. And then if you combine even an average offense with the type of defense we've seen, especially since the Harden trade, then there's no reason for them not to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I basically echoed as much that, you know, getting into the top 10 of NBA offenses with Silas and all the tools, all the weapons that they have, they just haven't had them all at the same time is the frustrating part. You know, and not having them at the same time and not being able to get those reps in and really start to gel offensively, you know, develop that chemistry to a point where you're not thinking about things offensively, you're just reading and reacting, and, you know, guys know their favorite spots, that you know your teammates, all that stuff, all of that plays into it. I really think that, you know, if the defense doesn't seem to be a fluke either, because you can look down the lineup and really there's talent, there's plus defenders all down the lineup. And so this team could very easily be a top 10 defense and a top 10 offense a little bit further down the line once they get things kind of settled and get things figured out. And hey, if you're a top 10 offense and defense, guess what? You're a playoff team. Like you're a good playoff team. Now, I don't think, and I think it's still way too early to sit here and say, you know, I don't want to start pushing the envelope, you know, putting the wagon ahead of the horse by saying that they might be able to make a little bit of noise in the West and, you know, actually challenge somebody. But if you're top 10 offense and defense, you are a playoff team and you are a fun team to watch. And that's going to be something to definitely watch with this group of guys, watch it kind of progress as they finally, hopefully, fingers crossed, get everybody available. It seems like the only guy who's going to be missing against the Washington Wizards Tuesday night will be more than likely Christian Wood. One more before we get you out of here, Ben. You brought up Mason Jones, and it seems like Jones has continued to kind of curry favor with Coach Silas. And to me, that almost means that there's some, you know, maybe some writing on the wall regarding Ben McLemore. Thoughts?
Yeah, I've thought that too, especially if Mason's shooting is or turns out to be as consistent as it has been. Because McLemore, he's going to be a free agent this offseason. He switched his representation to Clutch. By the way, Clutch typically gets their guys paid, in case you haven't noticed. There's a lot of reasons to be skeptical over whether McLemore is a long-term fit with the Rockets. He's also, I think he's 28 now. So, you know, he's not old, but he's also not truly a building block either. I mean, he's basically a bench shooter, which has a role, but if Mason Jones, for example, is that reliable of a shooter, then yeah, maybe you do look to offload Ben McLemore at the deadline to a contender who's looking for that 40% marksman from three. I do think that could be a consideration. I don't think they want to buy in on Mason Jones quite that much now, because Now, you know, the upside to Mason Jones, you know, you can say he didn't shoot that well in college. Well, the flip side of that is that in college, he was the man. When he was at Arkansas, now he was a very good player. He was the SEC Player of the Year. His numbers weren't efficient because he basically was the guy that the offense had to solely run through. So the quality of shots was not always that high when you're having to be the guy. On the other hand, when you're sort of the third option on the court, which is what Mason Jones is with the current Rockets, and you're getting these open shots, all of a sudden, even if his percentages weren't that high in college, maybe it turns out that his shooting is this good and consistent. It certainly has been this far. And if that's the case, then yeah, I could see that contributing to a McLemore trade, because I just don't know that McLemore's really a long-term fit at his age, his agency representation, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I don't know if they want to buy in on Mason this soon, but the good news is that they don't have to. We're still in January. Trade deadline's not until March 25th. It's just one of those things to keep watching. But I agree with you in theory. If Mason Jones continues to look this legitimate, then yeah, that could have some implications for Ben McLemore down the road as we get closer to March 25th.
And if they decide they want Mason Jones long term, they do still have some of that non-taxpayer MLE to be able to throw a true NBA deal at him rather than the two-way deal that he currently finds himself on. So a lot of exciting things, a lot of different ways that we're going to be able to see this team progress and grow. And honestly, it's exciting times. You know, I think there was a bit of doom and gloom over the franchise, you know, immediately following the Harden trade, understandably so, end of an era. But there's a lot to be looking forward to as a Rockets fan. There's a lot of exciting things on the horizon for this team. And honestly, I'm looking forward to all of it. It's going to be a fun stretch. And personally, you know, you can think back to maybe like the Steve Francis Rockets, or the little in-between period from the T-Mac Yao era to what was the James Harden era. And those were some of the, you know, those were some really fun Rockets teams to follow. And they ultimately, they never had to truly bottom out and intentionally tank. You know, they did eventually luck into Yao Ming. But, you know, they were fun teams to follow and cheer for and all sorts of great stuff. And, you know, whether this team trends that way or maybe they're a bit more competitive than those teams remains to be seen. But we're going to have you covered for all of that here at Locked on Rockets. And Ben is going to have you covered for all of that over at Rockets Wire. Ben, go ahead and let everybody know where to check you out at.
Yep. Ben Dubose on Twitter, the Rockets Wire on Twitter, and then rocketswire.usatoday.com.
As always, Ben, it's a pleasure chatting Rockets hoops with you.
Thanks for having me, bud.
All right, for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.